It's time to take the quiz.
5 questions, 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week.
Take the quiz every weekday at thequiz.fox and then listen to the quiz podcast to find out how you did.
Play, share, and of course, listen to the quiz at thequiz.fox.
I'm Abby Hornacek.
I'm Ben Domenech.
I'm Dana Perino, and this is the Fox News Rundown.
Thursday, October 20th, 2022. I'm Eben Brown. Political chaos erupts in the United Kingdom with their brand new prime minister now resigning and promising the ruling Conservative Party will replace her in just a week. Why? Because of tax cuts.
Liz Truss basically lost her nerve. She surrendered to the left. And when you surrender to the left, you know, they circle like sharks and it becomes a feeding frenzy and eventually you're going to be out.
This is the Fox News Rundown Evening Edition.
Listen to the all-new Brett Baer podcast featuring Common Ground, in-depth talks with lawmakers from opposite sides of the aisle, along with all your Brett Baer favorites like his all-star panel and much more. Available now at foxnewspodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
6 weeks ago, Britain's governing Conservative Party picked a new leader in Liz Truss. She succeeded Boris Johnson as prime minister. And now a mere 6 weeks later, she too resigns. The past few weeks have seen the British government in varying levels of disarray when its financial chiefs undid Truss's proposed tax reforms, a key part of her platform.
Given the situation, I cannot deliver the mandate on which I was elected by the Conservative Party. I have therefore spoken to His Majesty the King to notify him that I am resigning as leader of the Conservative Party.
Truss will now be the shortest-serving Prime Minister of the UK. The Conservatives, or Tories, will now take a week to pick a leader again, who will then ask the King to form a government again. But will the next Conservative PM try once again to cut taxes? And who really was behind the squashing of Truss's plans?
This tax-cutting agenda was immediately attacked then by the IMF, by the Biden presidency, by a lot of sort of the liberal elites in the United Kingdom, but also with among some Conservative MPs within the Conservative Party on the left of the party attacked it. And immediately she was on the back foot.
Niall Gardiner was once a key advisor to Prime Minister Margaret Thatcher during her time at Number 10 Downing. The Iron Lady was Britain's answer to the U.S.'s great communicator, Ronald Reagan, not just in her rhetoric, but also her championing of free markets and low tax burdens for businesses and people. Gardiner is now with the Heritage Foundation and says global forces played a role in scuttling Truss's economic agenda and her time in office.
This led to a period of turmoil in the financial markets in the United Kingdom, especially with the IMF intervention. This unsettled the government. She replaced the Chancellor, Kwasi Kwarteng, a committed Thatcherite, with Jeremy Hunt, who is a noted liberal on the left of the Conservative Party. And as soon as Hunt came in as Chancellor of the Exchequer, overseeing the Treasury, he immediately reversed all of the tax cut agenda, and he also increasingly was the most powerful figure in Britain. And Liz Truss's position became rapidly untenable over the course of the last few days, and her Home Secretary, Suella Braverman, resigned just yesterday. She was really left, I would say, without credibility and authority, Liz Truss, and a large number of her own MPs were threatening to oust her in a coup. So in essence, Liz Truss basically surrendered to her political opponents. She performed a number of U-turns, spectacularly dangerous to do so, really emboldening the left wing of the Conservative Party, and also emboldening the opposition Labour Party, the Socialist Party, who have been calling now for an early general election. Now, the reality is, fortunately for the Conservatives, they do not have to hold an election for another couple of years until the end of 2024. So there's still time to turn things around. There's a leadership contest taking place next week. We'll have a new prime minister in place by Friday. So we'll have to see what happens on that front. But the Conservatives can still turn this around.
A new prime minister by Friday seems a very quick schedule. Obviously, this is not a nationwide election that has to happen. Essentially, the Conservative members of Parliament have to agree on who's going to lead their party and therefore be the prime minister. Is that correct?
Yeah. So initially, in the first rounds of voting, Conservative MPs will decide on the final two candidates. Now, those candidates have to each receive over 100 MPs supporting them, actually. So it's a high threshold. There are 357, I think, Conservative MPs in total. So the final two have to receive over 100 votes from MPs. Now, there is also the reality, fortunately, that in the final round of voting, Conservative member party members, the grassroots of the Conservative Party, they have a vote and they'll be voting online. And that process will end on Friday when a new prime minister will be announced. So the Conservative grassroots have the ultimate say over the final selection, which I'm glad to hear, because the Conservative grassroots are on the right of the party. They are true believers, generally speaking, in Thatcherism. And so it makes it now far more likely that you're going to have a face-off between a candidate on the left and a candidate on the right, a Thatcherite candidate. And that is that's a far better scenario than a sort of coronation by MPs of someone who's on the liberal side of the party.
Let's talk about Thatcherism and Thatcherites. You know, I think here in the United States, people who are old enough would certainly remember Ronald Reagan, and they might associate this type of conservatism, this brand of right-wing governance, economic governance with regard to tax cuts and the like as Reagan-esque in the United Kingdom. They associate this with Margaret Thatcher. You were someone who worked for Mrs. Thatcher. Why would tax cuts and that type of economic policy that Mrs. Truss wanted to pursue, why did that throw everything into chaos? Is there not an appetite for tax cuts?
It's a good point, because, you know, a tax cutting agenda by a US presidency would not in any way, I think, unsettle the markets on Wall Street. In fact, quite the opposite, actually. The markets would rise, I think, if you had a tax cutting presidency taking power in the United States. And you saw that with Donald Trump. The stock market rose significantly under his presidency. Now, in the UK, where you have much more, I would say, of a sort of dominant big government agenda that's been in place for many decades, even under the Conservatives, who've been in power now for over a decade, they have advanced overall a high tax, high spending agenda, especially during the pandemic. And that's what the British public is used to. And that's what the sort of the ruling elites in Britain have propagated in recent decades, since the days of, you know, since the end of the Margaret Thatcher era. Margaret Thatcher was a tax cutter, a free marketeer, but you haven't seen her style of leadership now for several decades. And so in the United Kingdom, when you put forward radical tax cuts, there's going to be a backlash, especially from the ruling establishment, who have actually opposed this kind of free market agenda for the last few decades. So what in America would not be controversial at all, in Great Britain is politically contentious, and you saw that with Liz Truss's tax cutting agenda. But most disappointing of all was the fact that she actually surrendered to the left who opposed this. She did these U-turns, backtracking on corporate tax rates, for example, backtracking on cutting the top rate of tax from 45 pence in the pound to 40 pence. And so, you know, basically, Liz Truss lost her nerve. She had pledged to do all of this during her campaign, but somehow as prime minister, she was not willing to implement them in practice. And I think that's very disappointing, because this was a big win for the left-wing elites. Also, there was an outrageous intervention by the IMF, really outrageous, where they stepped in condemning the tax cuts, saying they would fuel inflation. Now, I haven't heard the IMF officials actually attacking Joe Biden for spending trillions of dollars of taxpayers' money and fueling inflation.
We're speaking with the Heritage Foundation's Niall Gardner. He was once an advisor to the late Margaret Thatcher, the famous Prime Minister of the United Kingdom, on the resignation of the current Prime Minister, Liz Truss, on the Fox News Rundown Evening Edition. We'll have more straight ahead. It's concerning that the IMF would involve itself in a domestic United Kingdom affair.
Exactly.
It's not like the United Kingdom is reliant on the IMF for anything. I mean, the British economy is rather stable, I would think. But here came the IMF to condemn a tax policy, which, according to Thatcherism or Reaganism or Trumpism, would have been designed to jumpstart a stalling economy.
Yeah, exactly. And so the IMF basically intervened as though Britain was some kind of third world country, massively in debt or something. And it was a political intervention. The IMF doesn't act, of course, without close coordination with the White House. And I think that what you saw on the sidelines as well was a series of attacks on Truss's tax cuts from the Biden White House behind the scenes. And then also Joe Biden himself weighed in last weekend condemning them, saying they were a mistake. Now, I have to say that all of this outside intervention was deeply unhelpful for the prime minister, put her on the back foot and was ammunition for her critics, especially when you have an IMF intervention that you normally see for the likes of, say, Greece or Argentina or something like that. And so this was very damaging to her credibility, and it gravely wounded her. But this was a political intervention by the IMF, and no doubt very closely coordinated as well with the Biden presidency.
And I'd have to imagine that the grassroots conservatives that you had mentioned previously, they were probably not happy with what they might interpret as weakness on her part.
Yes.
So what does that mean for does that mean for a potential candidate here in the next week for someone who would be behind?
That's an excellent point, because the conservative grassroots lost faith in Liz Truss. And that was also a big factor in her resigning, because she no longer had support from the right of the party. And you had the knives out from the left, but the right would not back her. Now, the lesson is for the next leader of the Conservative Party is that you've got to stand on conservative principles. You've got to stand your ground. U-turns are fundamentally dangerous. And if you're not willing to stand up as a conservative leader, then you shouldn't be leader of the Conservative Party. And I think that is the lesson to be learned here. Liz Truss basically lost her nerve. She surrendered to the left. And when you surrender to the left, you know, they circle like sharks, and it becomes a feeding frenzy, and eventually you're going to be out. And that's what happened to Liz Truss, and she was warned about this. She didn't heed the advice. And so if the next leader of the Conservative Party comes in and starts leading from the left and abandoning free market principles and economic liberty and so on, then the Conservative grassroots will turn against that leader very swiftly. And among the grassroots, they're overwhelmingly Thatcherite. Which is why, actually, I think one of the strongest possible contenders of the leadership of the party is Boris Johnson, who is talking about returning as leader. Well, he's not talking about it, but there's speculation that he may return as a candidate for the leadership of the party. And Boris is very, very popular with the grassroots, who were hugely opposed to his removal in the first place. So it's going to be an extraordinary contest. It's going to kick off on Monday. It'll end on Friday with a new prime minister taking office, certainly by October 31st.
A return of Johnson would be certainly headline making. You know, there have been so many comparisons drawn between him and Donald Trump, even if they're not exactly alike, and even if their paths may truly be different. But he is a conservative populist in, I guess, the way the British would see one. And his popularity hasn't waned, I think, in the same way that Donald Trump's popularity hasn't waned among his faithful here. You know, as we have the discussion and the speculation that he will seek the Republican nomination. So here you're telling me now Boris Johnson may find himself back in the seat of power in a week's time.
Yes, I mean, I think that's a distinct possibility, because he's very popular among the rank and file party activists who will have the final say over who leads. So if Boris actually makes it to the final round, if indeed he declares his candidacy, if he makes it the final round, I think he'll win. And so his prospects are very promising, provided that he can make it through the votes among conservative MPs, who tend to be, I have to say, more on the centrist side overall of the party rather than on the right. But Boris, you know, he's a formidable leader. He's a winner. He won a stunning election victory in 2019. He delivered Brexit as well as one of the key figures in the Vote Leave campaign. So I would never underestimate Boris Johnson and the possibility that he might make some kind of Churchillian style return to office.
Niall Gardner from the Heritage Foundation, a former advisor to the late Margaret Thatcher. Thank you so much for being with us on the Fox News Rundown Evening Edition.
It's my pleasure. Many thanks.
You've been listening to the Fox News Rundown. Stay up to date by subscribing to this podcast at foxnewspodcasts.com. And for up-to-the-minute news, go to foxnews.com.
I'm Charles Payne. Listen to my Unstoppable Prosperity podcast so I can get you making money right now. Whether stocks are hitting new all-time highs or in free-fall mode, opportunities abound. So why are so many potential investors still sitting on the sidelines? In a new season of my podcast, I'm going to get you in the game. After 38 years on Wall Street, I'm ready to impart some lessons and get you invested in the greatest wealth-generating machine in history. Listen anytime, everywhere at foxbusinesspodcast.com or wherever you listen to your favorite podcast.